Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get ready, Ohio. FanDuel, America's number one sports book, is coming to the Buckeye State. And to kick things off, you can get started with $100 in free bets as an early sign-up bonus. Plus, when you sign up today with promo code OHIOFD, you'll be all set when FanDuel goes live in Ohio. Then you can bet on all your favorite teams in all your favorite sports with $100 in free bets. Just download FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Ohio, this is your chance to get in on the action. Join today with promo code OHIOFD. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 or older and present in Ohio. Bonus issued in non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after FanDuel accepts its first real money sports wager in Ohio, 1-1-23. Unique user identity verification required. Offer ends on the go live date. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Introducing Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer. Blending the smooth, creamy nitro taste of Guinness with hints of coffee, chocolate, and caramel. Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, your new favorite part of the day. Look for it where Guinness is sold. Must be 21 and over to purchase. Please enjoy responsibly. Diageo Beer Company, New York, New York.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. Kind of a sad day here in Ravensville today. The Ravens today trade Orlando Browns to the Kansas City Chiefs for a parcel of draft picks that we'll talk about. Joining me today to talk about it, Dan Reese. Dan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's a pretty crazy time right before the draft, and got a little crazier today. So,
yeah, sure did. I kind of expected, having waited this long, that we might see him traded on draft night. Like, when they got to pick 31, it might be the Chiefs trading 31 for Brown, say. But not the way it worked out. Yep. Make a deal today and acquire a couple extra picks.
I guess they wanted to give us something to think about this weekend, so it works.
We definitely have something to talk about, that's for sure. So, first of all, Dan, where can folks find your work in general?
Twitter's the best place. You can find me at DP Reese, and then the number 8, and that's DPREES. So,
all right. And Dan's very responsive, does tons of work and a lot of valuation stuff. He'll be on the draft show. And one of the things, he'll have all kinds of comments about the players, I'm sure, but he's going to make a ton of comments about draft value of trades in the first round. And of course, that's the topic we have tonight. So we thought we'd go jump right to it. Let's talk about the picks exchange for starters. The Ravens get number 31 from the Chiefs, along with number 94, their third round pick, number 136, their fourth round pick, and a fifth round pick in 2022. The Chiefs get Brown, of course, pick number 58, the Ravens' second rounder, kind of towards the end of the second round there, and the sixth round pick in 2022. So breaking it down, looking only at the picks are exchanged this year, we're going to get to the value in a second, but then it's a sixth upgraded to a fifth in 2022, which is a year deferred, really is almost no component of this trade.
Yeah, you can pretty much call those even. It's not much exchange in value there. So,
yeah, very, very small. But let's talk about the other picks where we know the slot and we have several charts we can look at to evaluate those.
Yeah, I think probably the most popular one right now is the JJ chart, Jimmy Johnson chart. It's been around for quite a while. A lot of people think it's what most teams use, and the difference in the values that the picks that the Ravens gave up versus the picks that the Chiefs gave up is about a 45th pick, somewhere in the low 40s, 44, 45, 45th pick. So that kind of, you can equate that to the value of Orlando Brown that the Chiefs are getting. So,
all right, let's talk about that and sure, kind of give people the example here. So the Ravens got pick number 31, which is how many JJ points approximately?
Number 31 is 600 points.
600 points. So that, honestly, I thought between 31 and 41 is what they would get for Brown. So I thought about 600 points in total might be a reasonable amount. 500 or 600 actually is what I thought. But they also got pick number 94 and 136. How many points do we lop on for each of those?
So 94 is worth 124 points. Mm-hmm. And 136 is worth 38 points.
Okay,
so that's 762? For a total of 7062. Yep.
Okay.
And then the Ravens are giving up pick number 58, which is worth 320 points. So the difference between 762 points and the 320 points is 442. So if we go back and look at the JJ chart and try to find what pick would be worth 442 points, we've got... The 46th pick is worth 440. So pretty much the equivalent of the 46th pick.
What is a late fifth and a late sixth? Now, it's too hard to do because we won't know the numbers for next year with the compensatory picks that are in between as part of the problem. It's really like a six plus a seven is what it really ends up being.
Yeah, just, you know... if you look at the JJs for a sixth round pick, they're in the single digits. And a seventh round pick, they're all 1 point. Mm-hmm. So it's really maybe 10 points we're talking here, the difference. So maybe we adjust it. I think that's why I said the 45th. So, you know, maybe up a little bit. So I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So that's where I came out to, too, is that it's certainly worth less than 8 points. That hole, or no more than 8 points, let's put it that way, which would make it 450 in aggregate, and 450 is number 45, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
So.
All right, outstanding. I love doing a little math with you always, Dan, whenever you come on the air. A couple of actuaries just enjoying what's fun to them, I think.
Exactly.
One thing about the JJ chart that's been criticized over the year, and I think we need to start with the fact that on draft night, you can almost predict what pick will be traded based on what teams made the trade. You know the Cardinals and 49ers made a trade, and you know what picks they have. You can almost exactly predict what picks were traded based on the JJ chart as opposed to any other sort of flatter valuation.
Right. You can argue what is a better, like what is a more reasonable value of the picks, mm-hmm. but when you're measuring what teams are using it, the JJ chart lines up really well. And even I was reading something by Ian Rappaport, and he said, you know, they went back and forth and they were looking for picks to swap that ended up around the second round. And that exactly lines up with JJ Chart. So that's, you know, what they were thinking is lining up with how the JJ Chart works out. So
now, the Ravens, of course, known for trading down more often than up over the years, at least slightly more down than up. I thought, you know, this year they've talked about accumulating more picks. Don't really care what they talk about because, you know, it's all liar's luncheon time right now. But it really seemed like this team could use more draft picks. There is a shortage of roster spots. Injuries tend to sort those out. Obviously, losing a lineman right now creates an extra roster spot through this trade. But it seemed like this is a team with a lot of needs also that really wanted to get the extra draft picks.
Yeah, and I could see them trading down and also trading a fewer lower ones back up. But, you know, I think I could definitely see them being active, and getting all of these picks really gives them a ton of pieces on the board to play with. So, you know, a lot of firsts where they could trade down a couple picks, thirds, fourths. So just a lot of pieces to move around based off of who's dropping and who's available on draft day.
Yeah, it'd be exciting. If there's a quarterback somebody wants and they might think about drafting him at the 35th pick, maybe you trade up to 31 and get the Lamar Jackson impact of having a fifth-year option in there for that quarterback. This can be quite valuable.
Yep, definitely. Definitely an option.
So now let's talk about flatter valuations, because we mentioned that the Ravens usually trade down and not up. Teams that value picks at a lower level or think they can do more with picks that are a little later tend to really do well trading down, obviously, because they gain, you know, usually get an equivalent exchange of JJ value, but then they get more value than that because their ability to generate draft value with a lower pick is higher. So let's talk about some of the other valuation systems that are out there, because all of them are flatter than the JJ, correct?
Yeah, I think that, yep, that's the most extreme, yeah. So there are a ton of ways to evaluate the picks. Let's see. I've heard about the Rich Hill. That might be the second most, the second oldest, I guess. And that one, the difference results in a 38th pick. So up from a 46th. So that's a little bit of a difference. And then there's a couple other ones that are out there on just the recording that you just had recently with the folks over the cap / PFS. That's what was that? The Fitzgerald Spielberger.
Yes.
Yeah, from the guys over at Over the Cap. That one's an extremely flat valuation, and that one results in the difference being the 16th pick. So that's extreme. So they basically value as many shots as you can get out there, you know, go after them. So, you know, so that's but that shows you the range. You know, you got depending, you know, the real value that the Ravens probably have is somewhere in between there. You've got a couple other ones out there. PFF uses wins above replacement based. So, you know, lots of math and science behind that. I quote unquote science a little bit loosely.
Yes.
There. a lot of math. Let's just stick with math. And they said it's worth the 27th overall pick. So that's pretty impressive as well. And then one last one I wanted to point out was
by the way, I wouldn't suggest anyone running their franchise by war in any sport. because it tells you how many games better than in the NFL for PFF stat a 3-13 team,
right,
is that player.
Yeah.
In baseball, it's how much better are you than a team that would finish winning 29.4% of its game, a 294 winning percentage. That does not answer meaningful questions about franchise building, in my opinion. Neither one.
Yeah.
You know, the pennant this year, not the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think, and I don't think the steps are necessarily the same. Like, you know, if you're already up at, you know, 10-6, is 0.5 WAR the same as if you were down, you know, at 3-13? No. So, so that's the difficult part, but, still nonetheless, 27th overall pick for them. And another one I wanted to point out was,
Chase Stewart.
Well, Chase was another one. What is that? That's Football Perspective. That's 23rd. And the other one was by Michael Lopez, which is Stats by Lopez on Twitter. He's the director of football data analytics for the NFL, and he valued it at 25th. So, you know, a handful in the first round, and then a few others in the second round. So
I didn't write those down, but I thought you heard it say 16, 23, 25, 38, and then 46 with the standard JJ method.
JJ method. There you go. You got him, I think.
So that's quite a range. And obviously, if you could trade Orlando Brown for the 16th pick, you'd do it. But some of these other valuation systems may be overvaluing that the lower picks relative to the higher ones. I think that's generally an issue with some of these other systems, is they don't fully capture the peakness. They certainly don't capture the economy of draft day, as we mentioned, that teams are still trading by the JJ chart, whether or not it's the correct valuation method or not.
Yeah, one thing that I thought was really interesting was that JJ and Rich Hill are the only ones that result in a difference higher, like later in the draft, than the 31st pick. So, you know, in addition to the 31st pick that Kansas City's giving, they're giving the 94th and 136th for the 58th. So if you, the other option would have them, for them would have been to just give the 31st. So I would imagine that Kansas City wanted more and wanted to get the 58th for the 94th and 136th, thinking that that was benefiting them. But only two out of all of those charts actually think that though that second for a third and fourth actually benefited Kansas City. So more than half of them actually think those additional picks benefit Baltimore more. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Another possibility of how this could have played out, of course, would have been we'd have gone into draft night. 31 would have been on the clock, and it could have been traded then to the Ravens, depending on who's still on the board at offensive tackle. But at that point, it becomes a who's right and who's wrong thing between two teams who are in very similar positions, frankly, entering this year. Both very good teams, very stacked rosters in terms of talent, really deciding who thinks they can get a tackle out of the draft that will allow them to get through this year at a level that's close to Brown and then have a cheap talent for the future.
Yep. Yeah, I think the Ravens took a lot of the risk on this trade versus, the Chiefs are getting kind of more of a known quantity. So,
right. Well, it's 1 year risk though for the Ravens.
Sure.
And it could be long-term because they could draft the wrong guy, obviously, with the pick.
Yep.
But if it's 1 year risk of Orlando Brown, that's the important thing to know about this. The Ravens didn't own Orlando Brown's future, not in any way, shape or form. He was free to go after this year. And he didn't, they could have locked him in with the franchise tag, I suppose, but that wouldn't have really, I think, made financial sense relative to the other things they need to get accomplished next offseason. So you're not trading Orlando Brown, you're trading 1 year of Orlando Brown for 4 years of this draft pick.
Right, absolutely. And, that really puts the Chiefs in a kind of a bind, salary cap wise. They have lost all the leverage. They gave up a ton for Orlando Brown. They could franchise tag him in 2022, but, you've seen some similar trades with Tunsil and Ramsey, and both those resulted in the teams giving record contracts. So, that could really be, we'll see what the Chiefs end up doing contract-wise. So,
okay. Now, what do you think this means for the 2021 Ravens? Because we kind of started to hit on that, but the thing that I'm most struck by this is that I think it means good news for what the Ravens believe about Ronnie Stanley's health.
Oh, absolutely. You can't think that they would have made this move with two open spots on tackle. You got to think they are comfortable with his health going into the season. So,
Yeah, and understanding is he had a second surgery, and I may be wrong about that, but that's I think what I have heard on this matter is he had to have it operated on a second time. So there may have been a setback involved. If there was, it still appears he must probably be ready to go by the season, or I don't think the Ravens would have made this trade. I think they'd have just ridden it out with Brown and then hopefully come back with Stanley in 2022.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day, there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day, grab and go. Every day, giftable. Every day, fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Introducing the Lowe's List for Innovation. While our aisles are filled with innovative products, we've selected our favorites just for you. Like the exclusive Whirlpool washer with industry-first 2-in-1 removable agitator. We love this washer because you can customize any load. And with other smart features to streamline your laundry routine, this product is a must-have for families. Shop the full Lowe's List of top picks at Lowe's.com. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. U.S. only.
The Ravens also had Alejandro Villanueva in for a visit, and according to some sources, he's already agreed to a deal in principle that won't be signed until after the draft to protect the compensatory pick.
Yeah, I heard one person kind of back off of that a little bit, but, you know, that there's nothing really in place. But, you know, I think it definitely shows a lot that they had him in. I have no idea what sort of contract market he, you know, is would have right now. I'm not really sure what to expect with that. I did read that he's only played 4 snaps at right tackle, so I'm not sure how quickly he would be able to shift, but he could definitely be, you know, backup tackle, for a great option as a swing tackle, backup tackle. So
yeah, I'm not sure if he might have played guard before, but to me, Villanueva is left tackle insurance. He's the guy you have on the roster who can play left tackle if anything happens to Stanley this year. And you know, there's a lot of tackles in the draft. There's a lot of short-armed tackles who are not going to make it ultimately a tackle, which actually makes the tackle draft market a little bit thinner than that. Is otherwise, you know, there's a normal amount of fairly high-quality ones. The Ravens may or may not think they know the small school tackle market, but I don't think anybody else does because nobody's writing about who these players are from small schools other than minors. Nobody's talking about really any small school prospects.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they'll definitely be looking for tackle in the draft, and you know, I think we have seen them go for quite a few shorter armed tackles, right, in the past recently. Is that fair to say?
I'm trying to think of who you might mean. Andre Smith's, well, pretty long arms, and
I guess maybe it wasn't just tackles.
Short arm guards and centers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay.
They loaded up on those. And you know, they had McCary playing out there, but I think Holden has pretty long arms, and Fluker has legendarily long arms.
Okay.
Didn't really seem to help this last year. And Phillips is over 35 inches. So those are all guys that are, and this guy's 32 inches and change.
Okay.
In this draft at offensive tackle, who they're just not going to make it there in the NFL. They have to move Eichelberg from Notre Dame and lots of others,
yep.
Carmen, et cetera. But anyway, I think that'll be interesting. Do you think the Ravens are likely to draft an offensive tackle with their first pick now?
Oh, I think one of the first two for sure. You know, maybe they trade back a couple, but I don't think they can risk, you know, that would be, unless there are, you know, 3 tackles that they like and you're moving back 3 spots, I don't know how you risk it, you know, moving back. So I think they need, unless they find someone that they really know they like from a small school, but I think that's a big risk. So,
I don't think they can start there. That could be a developmental pick if they took 2, but I don't see how they can have their only pick be a small school guy.
Yeah. I really see, them using one of the first 2 picks on a tackle.
You made a great point there that the Ravens unlike other teams. The Ravens in a normal draft, if they had their, before they traded Brown, if they're in this position, I'd say they can easily do what a lot of other teams do and trade back six spots if they have three guys they like. So they basically pick up additional value and they say that, yeah, we'll get one of those three, six picks from now. We might not get exactly the one we want, but we'll get at least the third best that we want. That's pretty common. But now, because everybody knows the Ravens are very needy at offensive tackle, and that's, of course, a position that other teams need as well, other teams may skip ahead of them in the draft and do what, you know, happened to the Ravens in 2007 when they got Ben Grubbs at 29, but the 49ers jumped ahead of them to get Joe Staley at 28, who really would have been a player that would have helped the Ravens at that time.
Yeah, I think, you know, when everyone knows what you're doing, it's they know whether it's worthwhile to pay ahead and jump ahead. So real risky to drop back.
All right. Where do you think this puts the Ravens in terms of drafting another lineman? And maybe I'll hear your answer to that, and then I'll phrase it a different way actuarially for you.
Can you say it one more time? I cut out there a second.
Yeah, what do you think is the chance that the Ravens draft another offensive lineman? So you're projecting a tackle with one of their first two picks, and that's exactly what I'd agree with. Do you think they'll still draft another lineman further down?
Yes, I think so. I think that they have a couple questions, you know, center/guard, depending on the starting. I think they've got the swing tackle, you know, needs some backup just in case. Just, you know, we saw the trouble last year. So my guess is yes, that they will have at least a second.
All right. So now here's the $64,000 question for you, and we'll go back to some math terms. I want you to lay out the probabilities of the following: two offensive tackles being drafted, one offensive tackle, one interior offensive lineman, just one offensive tackle, and then the field on all other possible combinations.
Oh, okay. Well, I think one thing to think about is that, let's see, I was just looking at it. We've got, I think, six pretty good linemen right now already on the roster. So I'm thinking that, all right, two tackles. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with, I don't think that's what they'll do. So maybe 20%. I would say one tackle, one interior. I would say, I don't know, 40%. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And then just one tackle and nobody else. Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. 10%. And so what did we, that's 20% for the field.
You got 30 in the field still. You 20,
oh, 30. There you go.
So
all right. Even more in the field.
Okay.
I think that sounds about right.
All right. And I go with, I'm going to go with 20% for two tackles only. I think that's a real possibility. And we might get into a little argument about this after the fact that, yeah, we knew this guy was moving to guard, blah, blah, blah. That could happen. One tackle and one interior offensive lineman, 50%. I agree that's the most likely. And in this case, I think it's about half the time. One tackle only 20% of the time. I think they could do that still. They may have a guy figured out. You know, obviously, they got Villanueva coming in, one tackle being drafted. They don't want to kill the career of some of their young guys right away by not having any spot for them to develop into. So they might say no to that. And then I put the field at 10%, meaning they do something else like draft two interior offensive linemen in addition to a tackle, say.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I think the field is, now that I think about it, that was too high, but I think we've got similar concepts there. So, yep.
All right. Is this a trade now where I know I'm not really happy with the total amount of value the Ravens garnered in it? So I like the kind of the quality, the moving down quality of it, and the getting more picks is nice. Maybe I like it better than just getting, if they just traded it for the 46th pick straight up, I like it a lot better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I certainly don't like it as much as somewhere between 31 and 41, trending towards 31. And I wasn't even crazy with the notion of trading 31 to the Chiefs directly for Brown, just because it's a conference rival.
Okay.
Where are you on the trade in terms of just, are you happy about it?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's a best of what we could ask for given the situation we were put in. You know, obviously I would have loved for this never to have happened, and you know, Orlando have been thrilled to continue at right tackle and have a great line, but that wasn't to be. So, you know, I think it really ended up well. I think you get a 31st pick where you can hopefully get a young guy to replace him, and you get a third and fourth pick. So two shots at reasonable skills for a second. So, you know, I think that's really, you know, good value for him, especially for the 1 year. You know, I think it's as good as we could have asked for, especially with the strong tackle market. You know, there were, you have to think about, if people are looking for a tackle and it's a strong tackle market, they have to be like, okay, I could just draft a tackle. So you really have to find someone who is in win now mode and needs a tackle. So there really weren't that many teams that were in that position. And, you know, that's why I think they were forced to trade with a team like the Chiefs, because you had to have that balance of win now and looking for a tackle.
Like there wasn't an NFC team. They'd have probably loved to send him to the NFC instead. But yeah, I agree. I think it might be a little bit where both sides are maybe unhappy. I think the Chiefs, once they lift the hood on it, may find out that Brown is not exactly the player they hoped he would be, not a pure pocket protector. He's very much benefited from the Ravens system and Jackson, and that's not to put down Orlando Brown. He's a fine lineman, but he works very well within the Ravens system. A lot of the Ravens linemen are of a similar nature, and that this could be ascribed to them. Even Ronnie Stanley, I think benefits from the fact that he plays with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think, you know, other teams may have seen that more. I think Patrick Mahomes has a little wiggle to him. So I think that'll help OBJ still. So.
All right. So sad to see him go. He's certainly been a Paul to Baltimore, a wonderful third round pick for DaCosta. You know, one of the interesting things about this draft is that we again, and in particular because so many teams opted out this year, we're faced with a lot of differentials between what the tape says and what the draft metrics say. The relative athletic score, all of the umbrella kind of metrics that lead you to believe that a player has just no weaknesses. You look at Spencer Brown is one of the offensive tackles who falls into that category with he might have a perfect 10 RAS, but he's very high in all metrics. And there's a bunch of other players like that. If we look back to 3 years ago, they drafted Orlando Brown, who had a historically awful combine, and they also drafted Miles Boykin 1 year later, who had a very full umbrella and not as much to go on in his college career.
Yeah, I think, I think those challenges is another reason why I like having the extra, you know, extra pick in the early rounds. I think it's going to be a challenging one this year for teams. You know, there are those challenges that you've described, and then there are a lot of players that didn't play last year, and that's a whole nother question mark. So it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out for sure.
Yeah, it'll be real cool, because I think we'll see more Power 5 picks than ever, and then when it gets in those later rounds, this ought to be DaCosta time in terms of his small school scouting operation that he really built. Is going to be tested to its greatest degree ever in terms of really finding those players again.
Yeah. Yep. One more thing I wanted to just throw out there real fast is that, you know, a lot of people will talk about the comp pick that, you know, that we may have gotten for Orlando Brown. And I'm not sure that it was as much of a guarantee that we would have even gotten one just looking at the free agents in 2022. You know, the free agents, yeah, at the end of the 2021 season, you know, Campbell, Williams, they're both a little older, so I don't know how big of a contract they would have gotten.
Bozeman, Elliott, Averett.
Yep. Bozeman, I'm not sure he's going to break the bank. We'll see. Averett, I don't think he's going to be that high of a contract. Elliott, I wouldn't be surprised if we keep. Lamar, we're going to keep, is my guess, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews, I think we'll keep. Gus, I don't think he'll be that, you know, much money, or that he'll be that high of a comp pick. Sammy Watkins, you know, you got to think about all these wide receivers out there that took 1 year deals. So they're all going to be out there. And the Ravens have the third highest effective cap space in 2022. So they're likely going to be active in the free agent market. So I could see that being a year where we aren't even eligible for, you know, comp picks. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind when you're thinking that, oh, this was a guaranteed third in a couple of years that we lost. So
good news with the Ravens is they have some choices on signing their own players. So they can sign Averett and fill what basically is a pretty big dearth right now at a young cornerback. At hopefully not too expensive a price. They hopefully can get Elliott back. I mean, who knows, though? He could price himself out of town if he plays as well as he did last year.
Yeah.
With another year here, they could sign Bozeman and hopefully not have a really expensive Kevin Zeitler like signing they have to make otherwise. So they've got some options, and the Ravens are in the good position that, you know, you draft well, you have to make these heartbreaking choices with your own players. They've made one today with Orlando Brown, and it just is the nature of football, folks. And all I can say is it's a lot better place to be in than when you're on the other side of this and you have to look outside your own organization for talent because you just can't keep up in the draft.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's the right side to be on.
Well, Dan, looking forward to having you on draft night. We've got a great crew in. We're going to have two nights of coverage. Dan will be on night one, might be on a night two again. You're welcome to join us by all means. But evaluating the trains on night one, that first round, which is going to be a very exciting one now that the Ravens have two picks. We'll be looking at that draft from a very Ravens-centric perspective. So if all you care about is how does that pick affect the Ravens, whether it's in the division, did the team get stronger? Whether it's how do we create a run on certain positions that may impact the Ravens later, whether it's how the softness of the market, whether it's that first Raiders pick and how badly they screw up with it in drafting a third round player, whatever it might be, you're going to love our coverage because it's all going to be about how were the Ravens impacted by each pick as it goes along.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So, going to be an active one with two picks. So,
yeah, always a pleasure. Dan, thanks so much for coming on again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
When your entire life is online, you need more than just speed from your internet. Xfinity gives you reliable in-home Wi-Fi coverage, plus protection from Wi-Fi network threats. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.
Winning comes in all shapes and sizes. Every day there's an opportunity for a win, just like scratchers from the Virginia Lottery. Every day grab and go, every day giftable, every day fun. It's where anticipation meets instant gratification. And they're satisfying to scratch, no matter the outcome. Like the new Virginia Lottery Scratcher Colossal Cash. It's loaded with $100 to $500 prizes. Now, that's an everyday win. Drive to the nearest Virginia Lottery retail location and pick up a Scratcher today. Odds of winning any prize, 1 in 3.21.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.